I'm going to read to you a passage out of Ephesians 6. Paul gives a lot of advice in Ephesians. Reading the first four verses in the sixth chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Happy Father's Day. How many of y'all recognize the sermon title today as the title of a television show? How many of you recognize that? Yeah. Now, Caroline, you are the youngest one to raise your hand, and you raised your hand because you heard about it from your parents. It was long off the air. Father Knows Best. Robert Young played Jim Anderson, and Jane Wyatt played Margaret Anderson. It was the quintessential picture of middle American values. It was the sort of thing that back in it, and it ran 60 years ago, okay? It ended in 60, 62, something like that. And it began in 1954 with Kent Cigarettes as the corporate sponsor. But it showed Jim was the ultimate good father. He listened with interest. He always had the best of advice. He treated his wife Margaret with kindness and respect, and she respected her husband. He was the head of the household, never a question asked about that. And she would go about her household duties. She would be mopping the floor in a full skirt, and her hair was perfect, and her makeup was perfect, and high-heeled shoes mopping the floor. Oh, those were the good old man. If you hadn't responded like that, I would have been worried about you. So this next question I asked, I think has already been answered. On this Father's Day, 60 years later, do we still hold those same values? How have we changed in that period of time? What is different? You do realize that there are a good many Americans who would have said, of course we have the same values that we had. You realize that, right? There are a good many Americans who would have answered yes, undoubtedly. How have we changed in 60 years? Yeah. Father's Knows Best. You did look at the sermon title, didn't you? That it has a question mark after it. I entered seminary in the early 70s, and it was really the beginning of the strident, and I say that with all love, women's liberation movement. And I was sort of a redneck from West Texas, and those women who entered seminary at that time were in the best way possible rabid. They beat me about the head and shoulders for the first year that I was there. One of them signed me up for the annual calendar for the National Organization for Women. And I got that for years after I was out of seminary. They converted me. I lost my father knows best set of values in seminary. Now, I will keep the good things with me because there are some good things about those values and honesty and respect and care. But it's a whole new world, isn't it? We were talking in children, you know, Happy Father's Day. I tell you, I have some of the best family units that I know of are composed of single parents. And they work hard. Did you realize that there are 12 million single parent households in America? And 9,600,000 of them are run by women. 82% of single parent families have a woman at the head of the household. They have especially a tough time. I was raised by a single mom most of that time, and without my grandparents it would have been really bad. And I know some of you have helped in that, as have we. Some of the best parents I know have households that have two moms. We had the great opportunity this past summer to spend some time with our great niece, who is working in the movie business in Los Angeles, and her wife Brooke. Wendy and Brooke have two of the best kids I've ever met, and they are doing such a wonderful job of parenting. So this notion of that we must all conform to the same cookie cutter stamp is finally losing its hold on America. But the Ephesians passage today depicts essentially the same family and cultural values as portrayed in Father Knows Best, do they not? They really do. They really do. It was a time in which male domination was absolute. If you go back and read all of the laws regarding relationships, you can't believe some of them. Divorce was just by a man declaring it three times. A woman could not own property at all. There was no sense of female leadership within the children of Israel times in the early church. When you read about women in church history, when you read about the Deborahs and the Esthers and the Ruths and the Naomis and all of the women who are mentioned in Scripture, those are the most exceptional people on the planet because their names have been remembered. Mostly, a woman's name was not remembered. A caution to you about using Scripture as normative. What is Scripture? Someone define Scripture for me. Other than Sarah and Glenn Wilkerson. Ruth? Oh, I like that. You got kind of paraphrasing Sarah, but that's okay. It's a guidance book. Okay, well, let's get to the word. First of all, the word Scripture literally just, it comes from the Latin for writing. That's all that word means, is writings. The normative definition for Scripture, and you know why it's normative? It was in Wikipedia. Hey, I do some serious study for this, boys and girls. I don't just come haphazard up here. Texts, they define Scripture as texts which religious traditions consider to be central to their practice or beliefs, which is kind of what y'all were talking about, right? Those texts, those writings, which are central to faith beliefs. Let me ask you this. Do you think a Scripture needs to be understood in its context, when it was written, who it was written by, the situation under which it was written, or can it be just lifted out whole cloth and put down as a needlepoint life lesson? Well, it's Scripture. Why not? For instance, this passage this morning, that's a beautiful passage. Is there anyone who really disagrees with that passage? No? Okay. If you go back one chapter in Ephesians, you find the words, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church." Anyone disagree with that passage? Come on, guys, you got to get some background here. Do you see what I mean? This next one, and there was some humor. This next one, there's no humor in it. The very next passage in Ephesians reads, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your earthly masters. Serve them as if you were serving Christ." This passage was used by a lot of white slave owners in early America, and the preachers whom their money paid salaries. Or how about Romans 13? How about Romans 13? "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Have you heard that recently? This was preferred Scripture by the German Christian movement in the early 1930s, when the Reich attempted to overhaul the whole church in their image. Unfortunately, the majority, and of course they would have been mostly Lutheran Christians, the majority of Lutheran Christians went along with it. There was another group in Germany during that time called the Confessing Church. You may have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer or Karl Barth. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hung by the Nazis in 1945. In 1945, within a couple of weeks of the war's end, he was hung by the remaining Nazis, because he didn't have the same reading of Romans 13 that the German Christian movement had. And this is neither conservative nor liberal nor right nor left nor Republican nor Democrat, but be very, very wary when you hear a government official of any party quoting Romans 13. Well, I apologize for getting off in the weeds like that. Where were we? You don't have any more idea than I do, do you? That can't be good. Oh, Father's Day. Yeah, Father. children of fathers. If you need to forgive your father, forgive him. Bitterness and resentment will harm you. Children of fathers, if you need to reconcile with your father, reconcile with him. Alienation produces, well, more alienation. Children of fathers, if you need to affirm your father, affirm him. He needs your love, and if possible, your respect. And children, give your father the best gift that you can on this Father's Day, your time. If your father has passed on, give him the gift of remembering. Fathers, give your family your love. Love is necessary and it is sufficient. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It never, ever rejoices at the wrong, but always rejoices at the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. The greatest of these. Amen.